This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
The Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he gives Moshe Rabbeinu one of the grandest reports in the entire Chumash. And he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, if you look in Parak Vav, Pasuk Vav, Vav, page 318, Lachin Emor Levnei Yisrael Ani Hashem, therefore say to Bnei Yisrael, I am Hashem. V'hoitzesi Aschem Itacha Sivlois Mitzrayim, I will take you out from under the burden of Mitzrayim. V'hitzalti Aschem Me'avodasam, I will save you from your service. V'ga'alti Aschem Bezoya Netuya, I will redeem you with an outstretched hand. U'v'shvatim G'dolim, and with great judgments. V'lakachti Aschem Li La'am, I will take you to me as a people. V'hayisi Lachem Le'lakim, I will be your God. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gives Klal Yisrael what is known as the report of the Dalet Lashonos Shel Geula, four languages of redemption, right? V'hoitzesi, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. You know all the songs? V'hoitzesi, yeah, fine. The Dalet Koisos, right? We drink four cups of wine on Pesach, Keneged, the four languages of Geula, four Lashonos Geula, v'hoitzesi, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. Fine. Moshe Rabbeinu is very happy to hear the report. And he goes to Bnei Yisrael. What is the reaction of Bnei Yisrael? If you look at number one on the sheet, Vayedaber Moshe Kenel Bnei Yisrael. Moshe says it over to the Bnei Yisrael. V'lo yishamu al Moshe. They don't even listen to Moshe. Mikoytze ruach, because of shortness of breath. U'me avoy dekasha, and from hard labor. In other words, here Moshe Rabbeinu comes to them with the greatest report in the history of our people. He's going to take us out of Mitzrayim, save us from the bondage, release us from the work, bring us to Eretz Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael, they're not interested. Not only do they not believe it, it doesn't even enter their ears. What does it mean it doesn't enter their ears? Obviously the sound entered their ear. It means they couldn't even pay attention to it. It's like, you know, you go on the train station and there's a guy standing on top of the telephone books. He's, you know, preaching. You don't even listen. You don't even pay attention. They couldn't even listen to what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Okay, so you could say, you know, they're working very hard. And it was hard for them to really take Moshe seriously. But if you look at the very end of Parsha Shemois, if you look in Parak Hay, Parak Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, on page 312, okay? So the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. This was the first report the Jewish people got. And what's their reaction? Vayamin ha'am. The people believed. Vayishmu, and they listened. Ki pakar Hashem es Bnei Yisrael, that Hashem will remember Bnei Yisrael. V'chira es anyam, and that He will see, or He has seen, their affliction. Vayikdu, they bow down. Vayishtachavu, and they prostrate themselves. So what's going on? The first time Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, listen, Hashem's going to redeem you, Bnei Yisrael. Not only do they listen, they have emuna shalema. And the second time, Moshe says, not only will you be redeemed, v'hoitzesi, v'hitzalti, God will take you out, He'll save you from the work, He'll elevate you, He'll take you to be His chosen nation, He'll bring you there, it's well. They can't even listen to it. What happened?
It's not kind of logical order. Maybe that's part that was later than this night.
Ah. Okay. But we don't necessarily know that to be the case, that it's out of order. So we have to assume, you know, we don't find in Chazal, we don't find in the Gemara that it is out of order. So why should it be the first report they believed completely, and the second report not only didn't they believe, they couldn't even listen to? Now, you have to understand what's going on in the interim. Because when Moshe goes and tells Bnei Yisrael that Hashem's going to take you out of Mitzrayim, and then Bnei Yisrael believed Moshe then went to Paroi. And what did Paroi say? Who's Hashem? Mi Hashem asher eshma b'koilei? Who is God that I should listen to Him? In Pasuk Parak Hey, Pasuk Aleph. And he says, Moshe, what are you busy interfering with the labor of the Jewish people and talking to them and eliciting feelings that they want to go free? Well, you know, why are you bothering? Why are you interfering with their work? And what did Paroi do? Tichbad ho avoida al anashim. He made the work harder. And until then, the Jews were given bricks, and they took the bricks and built things with the bricks. Now, at this point, Paroi said, no. You have to make your own bricks. And don't think now that you have to make your own bricks, the quota of what you have to accomplish is going to be lessened. No, you have to keep the same quota. So what's going on over here is, Bnei Yisrael got a report they're going to go free. They trusted it. But then Moshe Rabbeinu went to Paro and he says, Paro, let them go. Paro says, who's Hashem that I should listen to him? Make the avoda harder. Make the work harder. And then Bnei Yisrael sees that Paro is just making things worse for them. And now when Moshe Rabbeinu comes with the full report of Geula, they can't even listen to Moshe. So there is somewhat of a reason for the Bnei Yisrael not to believe the report of Geula, because things are getting worse. The more Moshe tells them about Geula, the more things are getting hard for them. But still, if at first the Bnei Yisrael had Emuna Shalema, if you look at number one, in the beginning of Va'era, at the end of Shemos, I'm sorry, at the end of Shemos, Bnei Yisrael had full Emuna in the report of Moshe Rabbeinu that they were going to be redeemed, then how was it such a quick turnaround that not only can they not believe Moshe, but they can't even listen to it? Okay. So we're going to try to investigate this, and we're going to come to uncover something very important. Every Shabbos morning, we say in Shemona Esrei, besides the first three brachas of Shemona Esrei, we say Avos, Gevuros, Kedusha. What is the first bracha of Shemona Esrei of Shabbos? The special Shabbos Shemona Esrei. What is the special? What is the bracha? Yismach Moshe. Okay? Right, we know, as opposed to Yom Tif. Yom Tif, every Shemona Esrei is exactly the same. What do we say? Ata v'chartan, right? Ata v'chartanu. Every Friday, at night, day, every time, ata v'chartanu, again and again and again. Shabbos, you have four separate Shemona Esreis. Friday night, ata kidashta. Shabbos morning, yismach Moshe, musaf, tikanta Shabbos, mincha, ata echad. Okay? Let's try to analyze these words a little bit. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chalkai. Moshe should rejoice in the gift of his share. Ki eved ne'eman karas alai, because he is called a trustworthy servant. Okay, so the first question we have to ask is, we're telling Moshe to be happy. About what? What should he be happy about? I want to be happy. Why should Moshe be happy? Well, what do we mean? Moshe should be happy. Number two, b'matnas chalkai, with his gift. Moshe, be happy with your gift. What was the gift? What gift did Moshe Rabbeinu get? And what does the gift have to do with Shabbos? You know, you're not allowed to give a gift on Shabbos. So if Hashem gave Moshe a gift, maybe he gave him, you know, a nice watch. You know, thank you very much. You know, you gave the Jewish people the Torah. Let me give you a Rolex. You know, what gift are we talking about? Okay? So that's a question we have to try to understand. Why are we telling Moshe to be happy with his gift? And why are we telling him to be happy on Shabbos? There's a Sefer, if you look at number four, called Sefer HaManheg, written by Rabbi Avram ben Rabbi Nosson Hayarchi. Okay? His name was Rabbi Avram, his father was Rabbi Nosson, and he would sign his name Evan Hayarchi. What's Evan? Avraham ben Nosson. Evan, Avraham ben Nosson. Hayarchi, why Yarchi? What does Yarach mean in Hebrew? The moon. He was born, he lived in Lunel. In French, how do you say the moon? Lune, like lunar, lune. So he was born in Lunel, so he called himself Hayarchi, the one from the moon. In any event, he was born in 1155. He passed away in 1215. Okay, we're talking about one of the early Rishonim. Very interesting, at a very young age, Rabbi Avram, he liked to travel. So he traveled everywhere, and he recorded the different customs of the different places he traveled to. What?
Anthropology.
Okay, so listen to what he says. Reb Shlomo Zal, presumably, who's this Reb Shlomo? Rashi, Lo Haya Omer Yismach Moshe. When he davened Shmona Esrei on Shabbos, he would not say Yismach Moshe. Why? What would he say instead? V'haya Omer Ata V'chartanu. He said Ata V'chartanu, V'haya Mazkir V'omer Shabbosois Lemenucha. He would insert Shabbosos Lemenucha into the Atav Chartanu. Why wouldn't he say Yismach Moshe? Ki lo haya yodea ma'inyin l'Shabbos Yismach Moshe. He said, I have no idea why on Shabbos we're telling Moshe to be happy. Therefore, he removed it from Shmona Esrei. Okay, we can't do that just because we have a question on the Shmona Esrei. You know, I don't understand what this means. You know, I'm not going to say it. But these people, they're Rishonim, they could do that. So obviously, it seems that it's very problematic, this nusach, this this text of Yismach Moshe, Moshe should be happy. What do we want him to be happy about on Shabbos? Okay, so we're going to present now three explanations, and we're going to focus on the last one. The first explanation is the explanation of the Avudraham. He lived in Seville, Spain, in the late 13th, 14th century. Okay, he says like this. I'm going to say it outside to save time. When the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give... Okay, the first thing is like this. You know what we're telling Moshe Rabbeinu to be happy about? The gift he was given. What was the gift? The gift was, first of all, he was called an Eved Ne'eman. That's his gift, right? We say in the Torah, it says, Lochein Avdi Moshe. Not my servant Moshe is not like that. B'chol Beisi Ne'emanu. He's faithful. So he's called an Eved, and he's called Ne'eman. So the gift that... we're praising Moshe, and we're telling Moshe he should rejoice in is the fact that he's called an Eved Ne'eman. Okay? That's his gift. Yismach Moshe, Moshe should rejoice, b'matnas chalkoi, in his share, ki Eved Ne'eman karas alo, because he is called a trustworthy Eved. That's, okay. Now, what does it have to do with Shabbos? So he says like this. When the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give Shabbos to the Jewish people, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu like this, Moshe, matana toiva yeshli beveis genozai. I have a very special present in my storehouse, Hashem says. Verotza ani litna li Yisrael. I want to give it to the Bnei Yisrael, v'shabbos shema. The name of this gift is Shabbos. Lech v'hodiim. Please go tell them. In other words, now some, I think Rabbi Gedalia Shor points out, what does Rabbi Shalom say? He says, Moshe, I have a great gift in my storehouse. You know what it's called? Shabbos. Go tell them about it. One second. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't say, I'm going to take it out of my storehouse and give it to the Jewish people. He says, I have a great gift in my storehouse. Go tell them about it. Meaning on Shabbos, it's as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is lifting us up and putting us in his special treasure house to partake of this great gift. It's not that he told Moshe to go bring it to us, but he said, no, I have a great gift in my storehouse. Go tell them about it. You know, it's like a king. He says, I have a great collection of jewels in my storehouse. Go tell my friends about it. King's not going to take it out of the treasure house. He's going to bring the people to see it in his treasure house. Okay, but in any event, that's a side point. But what do we see from here? Moshe Rabbeinu played a special role in giving Shabbos to the Jewish people. He was what he was like the Shadchan, right? He told Hashem says to you know, it's like, you know, Shabbos is the mate, is the zivug of Klal Yisrael. So who is the Shadchan, right? We're married to Shabbos, so to speak. Who is our Shadchan? Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're saying, Moshe, be happy in the gift. The gift was, you are the one who transmitted Shabbos to the Jewish people.
Yeah, but this is the Shadchan, but he didn't enjoy Shabbat. Shadchan doesn't enjoy the Kala.
You know, he played both roles, you know? He played both roles. Okay. That's the first explanation. Explanation number two is, you know what it means? Moshe Rabbeinu should rejoice in the gift of his share. You know what the gift is? The Torah. Moshe, rejoice in the Torah. Because that's the gift. Now, why are we saying Moshe should rejoice? Because he's the one who gave us the Torah. Why are we telling him to rejoice on Shabbos? Because the Torah was given on Shabbat. Hakol, the Gemara says on Shabbos. Hakol modim shebeshabbos netna haTorah. Everyone agrees the Torah was given on Shabbos. When on Shabbos? Shabbos morning. That's why we say this, not Friday night, not Musaf, not Mincha, Shabbos morning. This is the explanation of the Sefer Seder Hayom. The Sefer Seder Hayom was written by Rav Moshe ben Machir. Okay, now, Rav Moshe ben Machir is a very important person to know about because, first of all, he was Migureho Arizal, right? In the Ari, the great Kabbalist, the Ari, he's called Eloki Rabbeinu Yitzchak, right?
No.
Ari. But Ari also means lion. How do you say a young cub in Hebrew? Gur. So the Talmidim of the Ari are called Gureho Ari. He was one of the cubs, the lion cubs of the Ari. But he made a tremendous contribution to the Jewish people. You know what it is? We say it every single day. Moda ani lefanecha melachai v'kayam. He wrote this tefillah. He wrote this tefillah. In the 1500s, Rav Moshe ben Machir. Yeah. He wrote this tefillah. Rav Moshe ben Machir. You know, people think, well, that is, say, we said it for the last 10,000, you know, 1,000 years. That's pretty recent. Pretty recent. Now we're going to, this is the explanation I wanted to focus on, the Tor. The Tor is the son of the Rosh. The Tor was born in Germany in 1275, okay, and he passed away in 1340 in Toledo, Spain.
Moshe ben Machir, he said that this is, the Torah is a gift. That's why.
That's the gift that we're thanking Moshe Rabbeinu for. Yeah. And why do we say it on Shabbos? Because the Torah was given on Shabbos, and that's why we specifically say it Shabbos morning, because the Torah was given Shabbos morning. Okay, now listen to this. This is really what we're going to focus on. Okay. Says the Torah, Perush Yismach Moshe. We're going to read this inside. What does it mean, Yismach Moshe? Kishaha Yuavisenu b'Mitzrayim, when the Bnei Yisrael were in Egypt, Vira Moshe Koyved Hashibud, and Moshe saw how difficult the labor became, Shehechbidu Aleihem Bekash, that Paro made a very heavy burden on the Jewish people with the straw. Sheyitin lahem. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe went. Sheyitin lahem yom echad b'shavua sheyanu chabai. Moshe went to Paro and he said, Paro, if you overwork your slaves, they're going to die. It's not smart to work them every single day of the week, right? If you have a worker, you know, you better give them a day off, because if you just work them, they're going to end up falling apart. So Moshe says, Paro, look, listen to my advice. I think you need to give the Jewish people a day off. So Venas Nulo, Paro said, good idea. Ubachar biyom hashvi. So Moshe said, you know what? Maybe you should give them the seventh day off. And later on in history, when the Jewish people were commanded to keep Shabbos, Somach Moshe was happy that he chose the day that Hashem was going, he was mechavein. He thought of the same idea of Hashem. This is what we mean. Moshe Rabbeinu should rejoice in his gift, because Shabbos is really the gift of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Jewish people. When the Jewish people were being overworked in Mitzrayim, Moshe says to Paro, Paro, you cannot overwork these people, they're going to fall apart. Paro said, fine. He chose the seventh day. And then later when the Torah was given and Hashem said, you know what, there's a mitzvah to rest on the seventh day, Moshe Rabbeinu was overjoyed. He thought of the idea of Hashem. Okay? So that's what it means. Yismach Moshe. Moshe should rejoice. B'matnas chelkoi, in his gift. What gift are we talking about? Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who gave Shabbos to the Jewish people. Okay? Take a look. This really comes from the Medrash, Rabbah, in number 8. Look at number 8. Davar Acher. Another explanation. Vayar b'sivlosam. Remember, when Moshe Rabbeinu was a young man, he first came out of Paro's palace. It says he went out to see their burden. Ra'a she'ein lohem menucha. He saw they don't have any rest. Halach va'amar leparo. So he went and he said to Paro, Mi she'yesh lo eved, someone who has a slave, im eino nach yom echad b'shavua hu meis, if he doesn't rest one day a week, he's going to die. Ve'ilu avadecha, and your slaves, im eina ta maniach lohem yom echad b'shavua hu meisim, if you don't let them rest one day, they're going to die. Amar loy, so he said to him, Paro said, Lech v'aseh lahen k'mo shetomer, go, do to them as you wish. Halach Moshe went, the tikein lahem es yom ha-shabbos, and he enacted Shabbos. Okay? Very interesting. So here we're seeing that not when was Shabbos first observed? In Mitzrayim.
So what about Sarah? Didn't she have Shabbos candles lit?
So, good point. Isaac is raising a point that we know Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov kept the whole Torah. But Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov kept the Torah. We don't find that the descendants of Yaakov kept the Torah. For instance, the Shvatim, according to some, did. According to others, did not. And certainly their children did not have to keep the Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu instituted Shabbos as a national practice. Okay? But you're right. The Avos and the Imahos kept the Torah. Okay? Remember, we started off the show with a question. Why is it that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tells Bnei Yisrael the four Lashonos of Geula, not only do they not believe Moshe, they can't even listen, and yet at the end of Parsha Shemos, they believe everything that Moshe tells them. So let's take a look at number 9. After Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael they're going to be freed, and the Bnei Yisrael accept it, so Moshe goes to Paro. And Paro says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo, who's God? I should listen to him. And in Pasuk 9, Tichbad Ha'avoida Al Ha'anashim, make the service very difficult on the men. V'yasuba, let them do it. V'al Yishu B'divrei Shaker, let them not divert and turn to false matters. So Paro is saying, you know, rev up the labor. Let's go. Keep on putting more. Give them more. You know, sometimes you have a worker and you see, you know, he's, you know, lazy. He's not really doing what he needs to do. So you have to give him more jobs to do, you know. Keep him going. Okay? But the words Paro uses, let them not turn to false words. Says the Targum. Look at number 10. V'la yis'askun b'piskamin b'telen. Let them not engage in empty words. What does yis'askun mean? Yes, what? Lehisasek, too busy. Like we say, Asher k'deshanam b'sosav tzono, la'asok b'divrei Torah. La'asok means to be busy with, to engage yourself with, to be involved with. What words were the Jewish people being involved with? Says the Medrash. Okay, you ready for this? Take a look at number 12. The Medrash says that we know that the Jewish people had Shabbos off, right? That was Moshe Rabbeinu's innovation. They were off on Shabbos. Says the Medrash. What were they doing on Shabbos? Look at number 12. Tichbad ha'avoido al hanoshim, let the service be heavy on the men. Melamed shahayu biyadam megillos. We see from here that they had in their possession scrolls. Shahayu mishtashim bahem b'Shabbos, that they would busy themselves with on Shabbos. Mishabbos to Shabbos. Lomar, what do these megillos say? Shehakadosh Baruch Hu goyalan, that God will redeem them. Lefi shehayu noichem b'Shabbos, they would rest on Shabbos. So we see, the Medrash is telling us, not only did they rest on Shabbos, they had special megillos that they read on Shabbos, and what did it say in the Megillah? Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh? No. It said in the Megillah that God is going to redeem them. Amar lehen Paro. Paro said, Tichbad ho'avoido al ho'anoshim. Rev up the work on the men. V'yasuba, let them do it. V'yal yishu, let them not turn. Al yiyu mishtashin, let them not delight. V'yal yiyu nefishin b'yom ha'Shabbos, let them not rest on Shabbos. So listen to what's happening here. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down to Mitzrayim. He sees the Jews are being overworked. He goes to Paro. He says, if you make them work every single day of the week, they're going to die. So he institutes Shabbos. Says the Medrash, what did they do on Shabbos? They had megillos. They had scrolls. What did it say in the scrolls? In the scrolls, there was information about how God was going to redeem them on Shabbos. And this is what every Shabbos after, can you imagine? You know, they were building the pyramids the whole week. The Mitzrayim were whipping them. They were being brutalized. They're being tortured, and every Shabbos they had a day off, and what would they read about? That Hashem is going to redeem them. That gave them chizuk, it gave them encouragement. It allowed them to believe that when Moshe came and said, Hashem's going to redeem you, they believed it, because that's what they've been learning and reviewing every single Shabbos. Paro said, I thought they were going to keep Shabbos as a day of rest to reinvigorate themselves to work more. Now I see, what are they doing on Shabbos? They're reading all this paraphernalia, all of this propaganda that they're going to leave Mitzrayim. No, I don't want that. No. Stop. No more Shabbos, no more learning, no more of this chizuk that they're getting. You know, Paro saw that, what were they doing? They were getting together and they were, you know, exciting themselves that they're going to get out of here. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you want to know why the first time when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Bnei Yisrael and said, you're going to be redeemed, they believed it. And the second time, not only did they not believe it, they couldn't even listen. Because the first time Moshe told them they're going to be redeemed, they had been observing Shabbos after Shabbos after Shabbos after Shabbos. And what were they doing on Shabbos? Reviewing the fact that Hashem was going to redeem them. They were learning the Megillos. So when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, yes, you're going to be redeemed, this is not news to them. This is something that was coursing through their veins. They've been reviewing these ideas every single Shabbos. But now Paro abolished it. Paro said, Tichbad ho'avoida, no more rest on Shabbos. So now the Jewish people had no time to even entertain thoughts of redemption. They were completely, when Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, you're going to be redeemed, this was an old, forgotten concept that they maybe learned a long time before. But since Paro abolish the Shabbos. So when Moshe came and said, you're going to be redeemed, this was a foreign concept to the Jewish people. This was something they remembered from a long time ago, but not something that was actively in their minds. And that's why the first time, Vayamin Ha'am, they believed. The second time, V'loy Shamu El Moshe, they couldn't even listen. They couldn't even listen. Both. Okay. So that's what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains in number 14. That the reason why, the answer to our question, why in the end of Shemos, Vayamin Ha'am, they believed, Vayiktu Vayishtachavu, and the second time, V'loy Shamu El Moshe, it's because they lost out on Shabbos. Shabbos was all of their encouragement, all of their chizuk, all of their yearning for the geula came from the Megillos that they read on Shabbos. Okay, now let us turn to number 16. Number 16. Let's ask ourselves a question. And the question is, what exactly were these Megillos? What did it say in these Megillos? What are they? You know, Megillas Esther, Megillas Eicha. What kind of Megillas do they have in Mitzrayim? Who wrote them? You know, where are they today? Are they in a museum? Maybe, you know, you go to Cairo and they have an ancient collection of Megillos, the Jewish Megillos. What are these Megillos? Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Look in number 16. Look in the middle column. The middle column. The first paragraph. Okay? And he points out the following. We're going to say it outside. The Gemara tells us in Baba Basra that everybody knows there's something called Sefer Tehillim. Who wrote Sefer Tehillim? David, right? David. King David. David HaMelech Ne'im Zmirot Yisrael, right? Yeah. David HaMelech. Yeah? David?
Yeah, David HaMelech.
He was one of the authors.
Yeah, one of them.
How many authors were there?
There was Moshe.
10. Okay. 10 authors. Who were they? Adam HaRishon, Moshe Rabbeinu, the sons of Korach, Avraham Avinu, and so on. Which chapters did Moshe Rabbeinu write?
It's more Moshe.
What?
90.
90, very good. 90. Chapter 90, Tzadi. Tefillah le Moshe Ish Olekim until and including Kuf, Mizmar Lasoda. Okay? So he wrote 11 chapters of Tehillim. Okay? When did he write these chapters? We don't know. We don't know exactly. Let's talk about one of the chapters that we know Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. Chapter 92. Mizmar Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Okay? We say this every Shabbos a bunch of times. Mizmar Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Okay? A song of Shabbos. Now, somebody please tell me, look through the whole chapter. Do you see one word about Shabbos? Anything to do with Shabbos? Nothing. Not one thing about Shabbos. You say, Ish bar lo yeda, a fool won't understand. Uchsil la yavin asois, and an ignorant person can't understand, can't comprehend. Befroach risham kmo esev, that the wicked flourish like grass, vayatzitzu kol poya le'oven, and the evildoers sprout forth. Right? No one could understand. A fool can't understand that. Here, you see a guy walking down the street. He's a Hollywood actor. Why is he so successful? He's such a Russia. Why is he so wealthy? He's a Russia. Says the chapter and tell him, a fool can't understand it. But you know why? It's to destroy him forever. He'll get his benefit in this world. Eventually, he'll be destroyed in Olam Haba. What does that got to do with Shabbos? Well, on Shabbos, where we have to work on trying to understand why tzaddik v'raloi rasha v'toivloi, all of a sudden, what is this chapter, how does it end off? Lehagid ki yashar Hashem, this teaches us that God is straight, tsuri he's arak, v'lo avlasabai, he doesn't commit iniquity. That means Hashem is fair. Hashem does not commit iniquity. What does that have to do with Shabbos? What does that have to do with Shabbos? When on Shabbos, all of a sudden, we have to try to understand the ways of Hashem, why the wicked prosper, why the righteous suffer. That has nothing to do with Shabbos. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it has nothing at all to do with Shabbos. Why is it Mizmar Shir Liyom HaShabbos? Because this is one of the Megillos that the Jewish people learned on Shabbos in Mitzrayim. Why did they have to learn this in Mitzrayim? Because you could just imagine the whole week, the Jewish people, who are certainly more righteous than the Mitzrayim are beating them, torturing them, and what are the Jews thinking to themselves? That Hashem's ways are not fair. Why are the wicked Egyptians ruling over us? So what do you think they were trying to think about on Shabbos? What do you think Moshe Rabbeinu was? Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, on Shabbos when the Jews were resting, he convened the yeshiva, right? He got all the Jews together to learn. What was his drasha about? He was trying to explain to them, when you see wicked people prospering, when you see the righteous suffering, don't think that God is not just. Don't think God is not fair. Only a fool thinks that. Ishbar lo yeda uchsil lo yavin esoyis b'fraach risham k'may esav v'ayatitzu kol payalei oven. You know why the wicked prosper? Lihisham dam adayad. It's to destroy them. But eventually, tzaddik katamar yifrach. The tzaddik will sprout forth to teach that Hashem is tsuriv layav lasavai. Hashem is a rock, and Hashem does not commit iniquity. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it has nothing to do with Shabbos. This is one of the Megillos that the Jewish people learned about on Shabbos. This is one of the Megillos. They were trying to integrate into their minds and their hearts the idea that even if you see Rishayim prospering and you see Tzaddikim suffering, Hashem has a cheshbon, Hashem has a calculation. And it's not without justice. So says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, this is one of the Megillos that the Jewish people learned on Shabbos. Another Megillah, he suggests. We know which Sefer in Tanakh speaks about the concept of Tzaddik Viralo, Rasha V'Tovlo. That you have a righteous person suffering, or you have a wicked person prospering. What is, there's a, the one book of Tanakh is designated for this concept. Tzadik v'ralo. Iyov. Iyov. Sefer Iyov, right? Iyov was a ish tam yirei Elokim, and he suffered tremendously, right? Everybody knows the paradigm of suffering is Iyov. Who wrote Sefer Iyov?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. When did Moshe Rabbeinu write it? Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, perhaps he wrote it in Mitzrayim, and this is one of the Megillos that the Jewish people were also learning on Shabbos, to be able to come to grips with the concept of Tzadik v'ralo. Okay, that's what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests.
Excuse me, Rabbi?
Yes.
Doesn't it basically say that when Mashiach comes, that it's going to be like every day is like Shabbos?
Okay, good. And we're going to use that. That's going to be a very important piece. Okay, good.
But why do we read the Iyov?
What?
Why do they read the Iyov?
Why do they read Iyov?
Yeah.
Because again, they were having trouble. What was their main issue? What kind of ideological, philosophical issues do you think the Jewish people had in Mitzrayim?
This is suffering and the Egyptian army.
Yeah, tzaddik v'ralo. Tzaddik v'ralo. So Iyov helps a person come to grips with that idea, how sometimes you see righteous people suffering. So this is one of the Megillos that the Jewish people learned on Shabbos that gave them the chizuk to withstand the Shibud Mitzrayim. However, Paro at one point, he stopped the Shabbos. He said, none of this Megillos, none of this propaganda. You know, he felt that it was, you know, getting their hopes up and giving them hope that they'll be redeemed eventually. Because the whole Megillah talks about, at first, they flourish. But eventually, the Rishayim are lehisham dam adayad. They're going to be destroyed. And then, tzadik hatamra yifrach, the righteous are going to prosper. So Paro was mavatel the Shabbos. Now, very interesting. Let's look at the last paragraph in number 16, where Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky proves that these chapters of Tehillim were composed by Moshe Rabbeinu when he was in Mitzrayim. Okay? Take a look. It's very interesting. V'yesh lehochiach, we could prove, ki tfila lemoshe tikein biyoso biyaretz Mitzrayim harbe kodom yitziyasa misham. You could prove that Moshe enacted this tefillah when he was in Mitzrayim before he left. Because what do we say in chapter 90 in Tehillim? In Tefillah Moshe, we say, Yemei Shenoseinu Bahem Shivim Shana. Man lives for 70 years. Ve'im Begvuros Shmonim Shana. If he's strong, 80 years. So who's saying this? Moshe. When do you think he said it? If he said it after they left Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was already 80 when they left Mitzrayim. So he's saying a person lives 70 years, and if things are going well, 80 years. So if he's already 85 years old, you know, why would he only say 80 years? He should say more. It must be he said this before he, at least when he was 80 or before. So that's a proof that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote these chapters at least while he was in Mitzrayim, before he reached beyond 80 years old. Because we know when Moshe Rabbeinu was 80, that's when Hashem started to take them out. So Rabbi Yaakov says this is a proof that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it when he was still in Mitzrayim. Ve'im tomar, and if you're going to say, Sha'amar tefila zu achar yitzias Mitzrayim, that he wrote this tefillah after they left Mitzrayim, halo kfar haya yoser mishmonim. He was already more than 80. The Eich Yomar, how could he say, Yimei Shenoseinu Shivim Shana, the years of my life are 70 years. Be'al karchach, Sha'amar tefila zu b'meinu urav. He must have said it in his youth when he was still in Mitzrayim. So very interesting. Okay. We're going to end off with a passage from the Ben Ishchai. Okay? On Parsha Shemos, right, Ben Ishchai is a collection of halachos on the, by the Parsha of the week. But at the beginning of every Parsha, he has some insights into the Parsha. So in other words, Parshas Bereishis, he'll talk about many, many halachos, but he'll introduce it through some insight into the Parsha. So in Parsha Shemos, in the second cycle, right, Ben Ishchai has 2 years, right, 2 cycles. In the second cycle, he says like this. What exactly did Paro... Why did he want to stop Shabbos? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to introduce Shabbos to the Jewish people? What was the deeper kavanah of Moshe in introducing Shabbos? What was the deeper kavanah of Paro in stopping Shabbos? Says the Ben Ishchai, there is a concept. Adam le'amal yulad. Man was created to work. To work. Every human being, you have to work. You can't just lie in bed all day. You got to work. Now, and not only do you have to work, you have to build. Right? We know that Klal Yisrael are called Boyinayach, builders. Well, what are they building exactly? I'll take you Boyinayach, don't read it, children. Ela Boyinayach, builders. What are we building? Through learning words of Torah, you create buildings. Where are they? Olam Haba. You ever drive, you know, you drive through Forest Hills, you see these big mansions, you know, nice houses. So, you know, what do I need to see it for? To be jealous? You know, why does Hashem make me... No, it's a mashal, it's a parable. The parable is, whatever these mansions look like in this world, every time you do a mitzvah, you create something at least as good as that. You have to have some picture of what Olam Haba is. So Hashem made houses like that to give us a glimpse into Olam Haba. Every time you learn one word of Torah, you create something greater than those mansions. Fine. So we're builders. We're builders. Goyim are also builders. They build physical things. They build houses, they build buildings. They create, they build with their hands. That's why we say, HaKoil Koil Yaakov. Yaakov creates with, he builds with his voice. The Hayadayim Yidei Esav build with his hands. Paro understood this. Moshe Rabbeinu understood this. So listen to this. Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Bnei Yisrael are in Mitzrayim. What are they doing in Mitzrayim? What are Bnei Yisrael doing in Mitzrayim? They're building. They're building. Why are Bnei Yisrael building in Mitzrayim? Because a human being has to build. So why couldn't the Jewish people learn Torah? The Torah wasn't given yet. If a Jew doesn't have Torah, he got to build something. So that's why, as soon as the Jewish people became a nation in Mitzrayim, immediately they got to build. If there's no Torah, they're going to have to work. That's the way it is. A Jew has to be building. If a Jew has to be working. If the Jew is not having some type of putting an effort into Torah, he's going to have hard time somewhere else. A person was created le'amal, for hard work. There's no way around it. That is a characteristic of a man in this world. You have to work hard. There's either Torah or physical labor. That's the way it is. The more you work in Torah, the easier your life becomes. Because every human being has a quota of hard work that he has to do. So either you're going to work in learning or you're going to work in physical labor. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Jewish people are down in Mitzrayim. He sees the Torah wasn't given yet. So he understands why they have to work with such hard labor. Because there's no Torah, Jews got to work. So he says, let me do something about that. If I introduce Shabbos, and I give them these Megillos, these Torah scrolls to learn, so they'll be involved in spiritual work, and that will lessen their burden. That will be my trick to get the Jewish people to have a much easier life. Because if they're going to have Shabbos off, and they're going to be working and building in Shamayim, where's big mansions in the heaven in Olam Haba, so now they're not going to have to build pyramids in this world. So Paro didn't really catch on to the plan at first. So he said, good idea. Paro just thought, we'll give them a day off to build more in this world. He didn't realize Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give them a day off to build more in Olam Haba, to decrease the building in this world. But then the Ben Ishchai writes, the Malach of Paro said, you know, Paro, let me let you in on what Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to do. He wants them to rest on Shabbos, to learn on Shabbos, to build in Olam Haba, not to have to build in this world. So Paro says to Moshe, no. No more of the Shabbos business. You want the Jews to learn Torah? Well, wait till they get the Torah in Har Sinai. Then they'll build with their Torah. Until then, they got to build my pyramids. Therefore, the Ben Ishchai writes, listen to what he says. Chazal tell us, look in the last paragraph, we're going to read it inside. Uvazeh muvan hatam. Look at the very last paragraph in tiny letters. Now we understand the reason. Sha'amur Rav Oseinu Zah, Chazal tell us, Lai nitnu sha'abosos li Yisrael ela lasik bahem b'tayra. Shabbos was given to the Jewish people to learn Torah. The Hainu, and that is, Ki Yisrael yesh bahem koach livnos, Binyin, Ruchani, Ve'elyoni, Ayidei Esek HaTorah. The Jewish people are able to build spiritual buildings through learning Torah. Ulekach nekro banoim, that's why they're called banoim. K'may she'amru chazal, ala pasuk, like chazal tell us, V'chol banayich limudei Hashem, V'rav shalom banoyich. Now when a Jew learns Torah and he makes these buildings, where are the buildings being built? Where are they being built? Olam Haba. The buildings are not in this world. When you learn and you're creating the mansions, right? You're not creating a mansion in this world, you're creating a mansion Olam Haba. That is why the main learning has to be on Shabbos. You know why? Because Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is a piece of Olam Haba. So the most conducive day to build the mansions that are going to be in Olam Haba is Shabbos, because Shabbos is almost as if Olam Haba comes down to this world. So now, that is the main day of work. Shabbos is the greatest day of building. When you go up to Shemayim and you see all the mansions that you'll have built, La'achar Me'ev Esam Shana, you'll see you built cities, countries, worlds. The main building happens on Shabbos. Says the Ben Ishchai, since Shabbos has to be a day of building for Olam Haba, that's why Hashem said a binyan gashmi is asar on Shabbos. Why are you not to build physical buildings on Shabbos? Why are you not? One of the lamites malachas is you're not to build. Why? Because that will distract you from the real building you need to do. It's not that Shabbos is a day of rest. Shabbos is a day of work. Shabbos is the greatest day of work. But not building big towers, building the mansions in Olam Haba. And since you have to build on Shabbos the mansions on Haba, Hashem said, there's no physical building in this world. Says the Ben Ishchai, we'll end off with this. Every word you learn on Shabbos is equal to 1,000 times of Torah during the week. Every hour you learn on Shabbos is like 1,000 hours during the week. Because since one of the main purposes of learning is it's the way that we build our Olam Haba, and Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, it is most conducive day to Binyan Ruchani. And says the Ben Ishchai, we'll read it inside. 7 lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. Ulekach kosvu ha-mekubalim. The Mekubalim write, De gadol ha-payal ha-nasa me'esa katorah b'yom Shabbos. Greater is the learning Torah that you do on Shabbos. Elef pa'amim yoser min ha-nasa me'esa katorah shal yimei achol. It's 1,000 times more than learning during the weekday. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu's intention was, if we give the Jewish people a day off on Shabbos, they'll use it to build mansions in Olam Haba. You only have a certain quota of building you have to do. Once you build in Olam Haba, that will release them from building in this world. So a person has to realize, the more Torah a person learns, the easier life becomes. Because everybody has a certain amount of hard work they have to do in life. Whatever it is, 50 hours a week, 80 hours a week, of hard work. Everyone's got to do hard work. The more you push yourself in learning, the more you work in learning, whether it's to understand, whether it's to schlep out to a shir in the snow, whether it's to try to focus on the learning, whatever efforts a person does in learning, it takes away efforts in other areas. It's a balance. Adam la'amal yulad. Man was created to work, but you have to choose what work you want to do. Physical labor, spiritual labor, and Moshe Rabbeinu's plan was, by giving the Jewish people off on Shabbos, they'll divert their attention to binyan ruchani, and that will diminish the amount of binyan ruchni, binyan gashmi that they'll have to do. Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.